Bible declares that he has raised us up together and has made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, oh! Living the best life, and I'm living a blessed life. I am blessed
in the heavenly with him.
And not only that, y'all, but I'm telling you that I'm walking.
Walking.
I'm walking in the realm of faith.
In the realm of faith.
And I'm a living miracle.
A miracle.
And I'm receiving the abundance.
And that we try to put a stop to domestic violence. We acknowledge the fact that it is happening. And year round, we are working to prevent domestic violence. And this is something that this young woman does on a regular basis, that she goes out and advocates for teenagers, amen, who are dating, and how we can begin to get our teens to be more informed about teen dating abuse, and also how we can stop abuse in any form or fashion. I want to introduce my guest today. First, I'm going to go ahead and open in prayer, and then I'm going to introduce my guest and bring her on, because she's already here, and I am really excited about the topic that we're going to be talking about on today. And again, bring your teenagers, tell somebody that we're talking about teen dating abuse and also domestic violence, and have them tune in so that they can be informed. You know, we need to be informed, even if you don't have teenage children, you still need to be informed. And you never know what's going to happen on the Women to Women to Man show. So stay tuned. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. You are worthy to be praised. God, there's none like you. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your power. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon our lives, that you allow us to do this ministry. God, we are humbled that you have chosen us to go forth and evangelize, to preach the gospel, to prophesy, to pray in your name, oh God. Lord, to be, Father God, those who are out here informing others, Father God, of the perils of even domestic violence and teen dating abuse. God, we just thank you for using us for your glory. And Lord, I just ask that you bless this broadcast. Bless every listener. Bless my guest, Tina L. Lane, oh God. Father God, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts on today be acceptable unto you. Lord, we just ask that you would get the glory during this time, oh God. We give this broadcast to you. We say, Holy Spirit, come in, take over, have your way. Let your will be done. Pull somebody out of a domestically violent situation. Pull some teenagers out of being abused, oh God. And Lord, we just say, have your way. Let your will be done. Save souls. Change lives. Set the captives free. Let your will be done. And at the end of this time, oh God, we will be ever so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, I am excited. My guest today is Tina L. Lane. I'm going to read her bio because a lot of people have heard about Tina. Tina is here, so we're going to read her bio and bring her on. But you have heard Tina call into the broadcast before, and a lot of you know Tina from Facebook, but not many of us have heard her bio. So we're going to, I'm going to introduce Tina to you by reading her bio, and then we're going to bring her on the air and go forward to talk about this topic on today. Tina Lane is a lifelong Newark resident and a proud product of the Newark, New Jersey public education system. Tina accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at a very early age at Philly Mom Missionary Baptist Church, Newark, New Jersey, under the leadership of Reverend Edward Allen. Tina has been a beloved member of Philly Mom Church for 30 years. She studied at Essex County College, Newark, New Jersey, and Norfolk State University, Norfolk, Virginia, where she majored in education and social work. Tina has a wealth of experience in the area of motivational speaking and has facilitated various workshops on self-esteem, social etiquette, dress for success, and financial literacy for local organizations and churches. Ms. Lane credits her professional aptitude to her numerous years working in the banking industry, where she served as assistant vice president, banking center manager for such institutions as Fleet and Bank of America. Tina is an aspiring youth life coach who has a dedication to teach and encourage young girls and boys through hard work and discipline their goals and dreams can be accomplished. She has been actively involved in several nonprofit groups as volunteer over the years. The contribution at NORC Do Something Leadership, her contribution at NORC Do Something Leadership, 10,000 Mentors, North PS Career Day, and Jersey Cares have all been experiences that have strengthened her resolve as a coach who believes in empowering our youth. In 2006-2007, she was honored by North New Jersey Public Schools as principal for a day. In addition, Tina recently was presented a plaque for her outstanding contribution to the youth community Feed the Children Outreach Festival in North New Jersey by Truth Ministries and the Greater Clinton Place Association. Tina has a vision and a passion to bring awareness on domestic violence and teen dating abuse. She has been a domestic violence advocate for several years. She has a certificate of training for the Domestic Violence Advocate Program at End Time Harvest Ministry, North New Jersey. In October 2011, she assisted in creating a three-day online domestic violence conference on the Woman to Woman Blog Talk radio show with Pastor Rebecca Simmons as host. For January 2012, she was a featured guest panelist on the co-pastor Anita Spaulding Godly Woman's View Blog Talk radio show for three consecutive weeks discussing teen dating abuse. Presently, she is a member of the National Council of Jewish Women Teen Dating Abuse Comprehensive Program. The program educates students in a classroom setting on the warning signs and preventive measures of teen dating abuse. Tina endeavors to fulfill her purpose in the kingdom by having the Lord use her for his glory. Her favorite scripture is Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. Her favorite scripture is who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. And that is the bio. I wanted to read that so everybody can know exactly who is this Tina Lane. And I want to welcome Tina to the broadcast today. We welcome today Tina Lane. God bless you, Tina, and welcome. Welcome to the Woman to Woman to Man show today. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Thank you so much for this invitation. Wow, I'm so glad to be here. Wow, that's my bio? Okay, that's good.
Amen. Quite impressive, quite extensive. And I also want to add to everyone listening that Tina Lane is very dear to me. The Lord has put her into my life, and she has not only did she put together that conference for me last year for the domestic violence online conference that we had. She was also the moderator for our panel last year on domestic violence, and she's also been a great help to me in so many other areas, even over at my church and on the virtual church for what we're doing. Even lately, we just came out of a three-day women's conference, Woman Power, Warriors on the Front Line. And some of you may have seen the video on my Facebook page and on Tina's page and on various pages on Facebook. Well, Tina was the one who actually put that video together for me. So She works behind the scenes in a lot of different areas, and she's a blessing to myself and other pastors as well. She is truly a laborer in the vineyard, and I just thank God for her. Not only that, but she's one of my spiritual daughters. So she's very dear to my heart, and I just thank God for her. And I thank God for the opportunity to bring Tina on today to talk about teen dating and abuse. God is just so good. Tina, I just thank God for the opportunity to bring you on as a guest today to talk about this topic that's not talked about too much, teen dating and abuse.
No, it isn't. It isn't talked about a lot. Actually, teen dating abuse is celebrated in the month of February. Even then, it's not talked about as much. It started off as a week, and then in 2010, it became a month. So because some advocates came together and decided that it had to be spoken about because there were too many teens who are experiencing abuse, and it's better to educate them and give them awareness now before they become an adult, and now they're an adult who's experiencing abuse. So it isn't spoken about, but Congress and Senate and the House of Representatives, they're now focusing on it a little more. So now we have more programs, we have more advocates, we have more local organizations now who's talking about this because they see the connection. They understand the connection of if you don't speak to the child about whether it's an unhealthy and a healthy relationship at the early age, then you may cause them to get into an abusive relationship. So it's all about education and awareness at an early age.
Right. And so what I'm hearing you say is that if it's not checked now, if we don't stop it now, when they are young, as teenagers or maybe even preteens, then they can actually get into a pattern.
Correct.
Of being in abusive relationships and even going into adulthood.
Yes, that is. We
wow.
want to stop the pattern. You do have some teens, and everything's not generational or hereditary, but you do have some teens who may have experienced in their household what an unhealthy relationship looks like. So that's the only thing they know. Or they may be in an environment where they see a lot of unhealthy relationships at a young age. So you want to have a forum when you can teach them what is a healthy relationship, what does it look like, what is an unhealthy relationship, because I know you already experienced, you saw it, maybe it could have been your parents, it could have been your guardian, it could have been some other family members, but we want to now just bring you awareness, give you education on some of the symptoms so you don't follow the same pattern that you have seen in your household or you saw on television. So, you know, this is the reason why Chris Brown and Rihanna was such a big deal to a lot of youth, because a lot of them didn't define what they were going through as abuse.
Yeah.
They defined it as only as a relationship. Then this
is
all these other symptoms are all part of relationships. So that's the reason why. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I want to talk to also the people, because the phone lines are full, and I thank God for all of you who have tuned in, and also for those in the chat room. I see you in the chat room. God bless you, daughter. One of my other spiritual daughters, Minister Valerie Allen. God bless you being in the chat room and those who are on the phone line. But a lot of the women who are tuned in right now, you might not even have teenagers, and you might not have a teenager in your life, but some of the things that we're going to talk about on today are going to apply to that teenager on the inside of you. You heard Tina say that this is a pattern that sometimes develops at an earlier age, where we as women, and I can certainly identify with that, have seen domestic violence in the household. So we grow up thinking it's okay. So for those of you who may not even have a teenager with you and you're in a relationship or thinking about going into a relationship or have ever been in a relationship that was potentially violent, this is also for you. So even though we're talking about teens today, some of this is going to hit something on the inside of some of you who are listening live and those of you who may tune in. We have about 1,100 people tuning into our archives weekly, and we just thank God for that. So for even some of you who will listen to the archives, or maybe you will know somebody that is young and they're in these type of relationships. So I want Tina, I want to just let you go and begin to ask you some of the questions. I know you do a workshop, and I've seen your workshop. So I want to start with the basics, like what is abuse? And if you could just begin to just tell us what is abuse and, you know, let the Lord lead you as you begin to break down to us about the information that you have on this topic.
Okay. Well, first thing I want to state, whether you have parents or guardian or teenager, every relationship that you're in is not abuse. So I'm going to break down what it is so you don't think that just because your child is dating and he may be upset with the person they're dating that they're in an abusive relationship. It's a pattern that happens. There's different symptoms and warning signs that happen that can indicate that they're in an abusive relationship. The abuse is defined as this. Abuse in a dating relationship is a repeat pattern or behavior used by one person to gain power and control over the other. Abuse can be verbal, emotional, physical, and or sexual, all which are equally damaging. So the key word is, you notice that it says, when the person is trying to gain control and power over the other person, dictating the other person, where you go, who you can speak to, what time you should go be home. Those are patterns of control. So just because your child is in a relationship, if they don't have those patterns of someone controlling them, and doesn't mean they're in an abusive relationship, but if you start seeing patterns of emotional abuse and verbal abuse happening and noticing that they're crying or noticing that she or he stated that every time this person talks to her, he's using words to describe her in a negative way, and it's a pattern, and he's using it to control her, then those are warning signs stating that this child may be potentially in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. You want me just to flow, or are you going to ask?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the reason why it's important to understand teen dating abuse is because at least children in high school, one out of three children either have experienced it or know someone who has experienced abuse in their relationship. And so there's a conversation that's happening already without parents or guardians even knowing. These children see the abuse. They notice how one of their friends is constantly crying or upset. They notice how there's a young, I'm going to use example, I'm going to use the man on the young boy as being the abuser, but we know that abuse can happen from a young girl to a young boy, a young boy to a young girl. It can be both ways. But for this example, sometimes your child may see a young man who pushes his girlfriend a lot, who yells at her a lot, but no one says anything. They think it's normal. It's okay because he now apologizes. So what I wanted to tell you that it's not normal. And one of the exercises we do in my organization called the National Coalition of Jewish Women, when we go into the classroom, we come in to educate. We want to come in to bring awareness. So we begin to ask the students, what do you want in a relationship? And what do you do not want in a relationship? And do you understand what is a healthy relationship and what is an unhealthy relationship? And sometimes some of the responses are surprising, to say the least, because you may think that a child may not say she wants to be disrespected. It's like, well, that should be a do not want. Well, you know, but the child may say, well, if he disrespects me, in a sense, you know, and he shows how much he cares by becoming a little aggressive and saying things, and then he always comes back and apologizes. So we have to first clear their mind of what is defined as respect and disrespect and what have they been taught. Because naturally, you wouldn't think that a child would think that someone disrespecting her and saying something that is demeaning towards her character would be something that she would want. But if she defines that as love and he apologizes, now you have to take everything that she's been fed. You got to take that, whatever she's been fed, to think this way. Now you have to eliminate that and now empower her with some positive words like no. What you should want in a relationship is somebody who respects you, someone that listens, someone encourages you, someone who treats you as an equal, someone who supports you. someone that builds up your character, someone you can trust, someone that can make you feel safe, willing to compromise, someone who's honest, non-judgmental, and accepting. These are the things that you should want in a relationship. That's all part of what a healthy relationship looks like. Now, of course, there are more examples, but these are some of the examples we go over with them. And then we tell them what you don't want that can signal that you're not in a healthy, you are in an unhealthy relationship. You don't want someone who discourages you, talks down to you, curses at you, says you're ugly, calls you dumb and unimportant. A person who doesn't treat you like you don't exist. A person who treats you like you're unworthy, cheats on you. They think they own you. They hurt you emotionally. They embarrass you. They pressure you to do things that you don't like. They hit you. They blame you for everything. Even if it's not your fault, you're still blamed for it. A person who's stalking you. You cannot go anywhere without this person always wanting to be with you. No matter where you go, this person wants to be with you. And if you decide to go somewhere, this person shows up, even though he said he wasn't coming. But he wants to make sure that you're not with anyone else. So these are things that you don't want, because these are the warning signs that you're with a person who may later on become abusive.
Wow. Wow, that is something, you know, because, and that's some good information, because a lot of people will think, boy, you said so much, they will think that just because he wants to spend all of his time with me, a lot of girls are flattered by that, you know, the fact that this boy is so into her that he literally wants to spend all of his time with her. And now how many of these signs have to be in place in order for someone to know that they're in an abusive relationship? Because sometimes the person will want to spend, just want to be with you all of the time. They might be clingy and not abusive, right?
Right.
I mean, how do we get to the point where we determine whether or not that relationship is truly abusive?
Okay, that's a good question. Thank you, Pastor Rebecca. Because you may have one of those signs, but what happens is when it becomes a pattern, when the person starts to react, when you're not able to, okay, the person asks you to go somewhere and he wants to be clingy, he wants to cling to you. And you may say no, but now the person reaction, when you're starting to say repeatedly, no, it's okay, I want to be with my friends, He becomes angry. He begins to text you. He begins to call you. He begins to ask you questions like, who are you with? Why can't I can't go? Why? Are you cheating on me? I think you don't love me. So then when those actions start to come into play, you realize that, okay, it's more than just him wanting to be with me. He wants to control me.
Wow. Wow. That's good. That's good. And I'll tell you that we're listening, because the signs will come in. You know, one thing I know about my daughter, and she's not here, but I'm going to make sure that she listens to the archive. She had an activity at the Key Club at the high school today, but she's 14. She's not dating. She's not even allowed to date, and we'll talk about that also. But she's definitely looking at boys, and she's crushing, you know. And all I hear is a lot of boy talk. And I make sure that I keep that communication line open, because I don't want to share her down at this point, because I need to hear what's going on with her. So as parents, would you say that it would be a good idea for us to tune in and listen to our teenagers, so that we are able to pick up signs like this? Like if the girl says, you know what, he's sweating me, all he wants to do is be around me. I mean, is that a warning sign for a parent of a teenager, or do we have to combine that with, you know what, he gets on my nerve. You know, he called me a name today. He called me I'm the only one to say the name, but maybe he called me a B today. And she's talking to her girlfriend. So what are some of the ways that we as parents even can begin to be more aware of what's going on with our teenagers?
True. Well, one of the steps is sometimes parents if a parent's listening today and say, okay, my child isn't in an unhealthy relationship, I know that. Well, what I want you to do is first step is first to have that conversation with your child. You need to start asking your child questions. Like Pastor Rebecca said, you may have a child who's crushing. You may have a child who likes a boy, you know, and you're noticing that he's calling more often. So you need to begin to start a conversation with the child. Are any of your friends dating? They may answer the question, what do their relationship look like? But then you can begin to understand, first of all, how does you define a relationship? What would you want in a relationship, in a young man? How would you like for him to treat you? Then you get into asking questions like, have you ever witnessed someone being in an unhealthy relationship or seen abuse in school? And then you may ask the person, how does that make you feel? Ask your child, I'm sorry, how does that make you feel? Because the reason why you want to ask these questions before you start targeting your child in reference to wanting to educate them, you first got to find out what they know. And so, again, were you scared when you saw that your child, when you saw your friend being in an unhealthy relationship, or did you think it was okay? Do you know what to do if you do witness somebody in an unhealthy relationship? Has anyone ever said anything to you that you felt as though was disrespectful? Has a boy ever disrespected you in any manner? How did that make you feel? Did you feel okay? Did you think he was just joking? Do you think that's just the way that a young man should treat a young lady? Did you say anything to him? Did you walk away? Were you embarrassed? So first, you got to have that conversation with your child about what a relationship is based on what she's telling you, what he's telling you, because you already have an understanding what a relationship would look like. You already have an understanding what you the person you want your child to date and how that you want that person to treat your child. But your child may have a totally different perspective on what a relationship looks like. So,
wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
So the first thing is communication. Communication. As a parent, I would say to any parent, communicate with child by asking questions. Not asking questions where you're just demanding answers right away because you don't want them to be in a relationship or you don't want them to date. So you're just asking one question after another and you're expecting that answer to be the one that you want to hear. No, you may have to wait for that child just to give you her opinion or his opinion. And then once you are given their information, once you are given their feedback, now this enables you to cater what they tell you with your experience and with your knowledge. But if you don't know what they're thinking, you really can't give positive or good feedback because whatever you say, if you don't know what they're thinking, whatever you say may go out the window. Because
wow.
I think a child will say, oh, see, mom don't understand, dad don't understand, they didn't even let me talk, they didn't even let me tell them what I think a relationship look like, or have I ever seen anything or anyone being abused. So you're just telling me, I don't want a boy to hit you, I don't want a girl to hit you, I don't want someone to call you out of your name. Well, did you ever ask me, has that happened to me?
Wow.
What happened to one of my friends? What happened to one of my relatives? So you first got to communicate with them. That's the key. That's the first thing I would say. Communication is key. You have to listen to your child. You have to get their feedback. You have to allow them to express their feelings. This way, they trust you. This way, they can begin to tell you a little bit more without them thinking that if they tell you something, automatically you're going to get angry or upset. No, you're just trying to get more information so you can help them. You can be alert as a parent. The more information you acquire from your child, the more powerful you are to help and assist your child in situations. But if you don't have any information, your child is closed based upon you not allowing them to express themselves, then you're left basically not knowing. And now you may have other people coming to you telling you that your child is in an abusive relationship.
Wow.
Your child is going through something, and you were like, no, it can't happen in my household. I see her every day. I know she would tell me. No, she may not tell you. She might keep it a secret.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, because, it's perfect that you hit on that point, because a lot of people will say, well, no, that won't ever happen to my child. You know, and the thing about it is there's some amazing stats that you had showed me that you had in one of the workshops that you do, because Tina does workshops on teen dating abuse, and there were some stats that I saw on that particular report that we don't even know. These are some amazing facts. I don't know if you wanted to go ahead and break down some of these facts relating to teen dating abuse, because a lot of people do think that it wouldn't happen to them or their child.
Oh, okay, sure. 1 in 5 teens ages 11 through 14 in a relationship knows friends who have been verbally abused, called names, put down, or insulted. A lot of the information comes from an organization called Love Is Not Abuse. It's through Liz Claiborne Incorporated. Yep. So I'm going to give you information at the end on where you can go get a lot of this information online. The second one is 2 in 5 teens between ages 11 and 14. Again, knows about relationships, knows friends who have been verbally abused, called names, and put down. Nearly 1 in 3 teens who have been in relationships have experienced the most serious form of dating violence and abuse, including sexual abuse, physical abuse, or threats or physical harm to a partner or self. Nearly 1 in 4 teens say boyfriends and girlfriend relationships usually begin at age 14 or younger. Only half of all these teens claim to know the warning signs of a bad and hurtful relationship, and that was ages 11 through 14.
Wow.
And almost half of teens have personally been victimized by controlling behavior. So what is key is a lot of them knew about relationships, but only half of all of them knew the warning signs of a bad and hurtful relationship.
Wow. Okay, those are some amazing stats. And like you were saying, you got them from different
websites,
organizations.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how so many teenagers are involved in in abusive situations. You know, there's teen date rape. There's girls going over to boys' houses, and they may say no, but the boy just persists, and he goes ahead and sexually violates her. So there's so many different situations. I remember being a young girl and, you know, even as a young girl going to this boy's house, and they tried to gang rape me. And I thank God that I was a talker. Thank God he's always given me the gift of gab, and I was able to talk myself out of that situation without any of those boys having sex with me. But a lot of girls are not that fortunate or blessed. But it's amazing that we as parents, and my mother had no idea. I don't think my mother knew that had happened. I never really sat down and talked to her about it, although I did write it in the book. So that's why I'm saying to the older people and even to you teenagers out there, you know, keep the lines of communication open, mothers with your daughters and your sons, and teenagers with your parents. Keep those lines of communication open to let your parents know what's going on with you. Tina, what are some of the reasons that a child would not tell their parent what's going on if they were in a situation like that, if they were gang raped, or if some boy hit them or pushed them, or somebody's being overly possessive or exerting undue authority in your lives? Why wouldn't the child tell their mom or tell their dad?
Wow. Well, some of the reasons that a child will not tell is based on sometimes fear of retaliation by the person who did the assault, sometimes embarrassment, sometimes they believe they're going to be judged by their parents, that because maybe they weren't supposed to be at that party. They wasn't supposed to be around those friends. They've been told they're not supposed to hang out in that area. So now fear of the consequences. Fear of the consequences from my parents, fear of the consequences also from the perpetrators.
Yeah.
And then it's shame. The victim feels as though they're they're going to be blamed. So if I'm Filippo, I'm going to be blamed for what happened to me, although I didn't have any control over it. Sometimes the victim now will not say anything because I'm ashamed of what happened. I feel as though I'm going to be blamed. No one's going to believe me. My parents are going to be upset. They're going to be angry. The perpetrator said if I said anything, he will harm me or my family or someone else that I love. So now I'm just scared.
Wow. Wow. So fear,
yes.
Shame.
Fear, shame, being judged. The consequences, fear of the consequences, being judged, scared of retaliation. Like retaliation is key, that something's going to happen. If I say something, something can happen. And oftentimes, fear of, most of the times, sometimes fear of just no one believing me. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, yeah. See if no one believes in me.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the perpetrator will say that. No one,
right.
You know, came from an abusive. I was in a teen dating relationship. I was sexually violated as a child. I was molested as a child. And one of the things that the perpetrator will tell you, this didn't happen to me, but I've studied it, is that nobody will believe you.
Right.
I've actually seen it play out a couple of times in my life where the girl told her parents what had happened and they were not believed. The girl wasn't believed. Or the perpetrator was confronted and then they denied it. He denied it and said, no, she's lying. I didn't do it. So that happens. You're right. You know, that's a great point that you brought out, Tina, because that happens so much that there is a lack of belief when it
right.
comes to. And why is that? Why don't we believe? Why don't parents believe their children when their children come to them and say that someone has abused them or violated them in some way?
Well, sometimes parents may not believe because at first they're thinking that this couldn't happen to their child. They had taken the necessary steps and had that conversation with their child, made sure they were open with their child. They were non-judgmental. Maybe I always told my child she can come and talk to me or my husband. And so I'm assuming that this is never going to happen. This is not going to happen because I have taking the necessary preventative steps to avoid this from occurring. So that's what you're thinking, like, this is not going to happen because I told her or him, you can't go here, you can't be around this person. So that's the reason why I don't think it's going to occur to my child. This can never happen to my child because
yeah.
my child lives in a certain neighborhood. Again, that also. That's another stereotype. So my child lives in a certain neighborhood. This doesn't happen in my city. This doesn't happen around my environment. My child goes to a certain school. No, they have control over the school. This school is better than the school that I was going to send her to or him to. So I already know that nothing can happen in this school. They have a good team system in that school. So there's many different factors why parents may not think this is going to happen to their child, but I'm just naming a few. But ultimately, sometimes you just kind of don't think it's going to happen because of the simple fact that you're trying to prepare and teach your child life skills for this to not happen. But you're
yeah.
not thinking about it. Then you have the other parent who may not be teaching the life skills, but just assume, again, based on this experience that this could never happen. Never happened to me. Never happened to my siblings. Never happened to anyone in my family. This is not going to happen to my child.
Mm-hmm.
So
sounds like denial. Sounds like denial
yeah.
to me. Just
right.
like all the way across the board, we're just in denial that this thing could possibly happen.
Right.
To
I was going
to
say that being denial, being a little sometimes a little naive to think that this cannot happen, but it is happening. You see it on the news. as you see it in the school system, where someone said I was at a party or I was in the gymnasium and a boy approached me and I liked him and then he took it to one step and I was gang raped. So you do see this. And you read about it in the newspaper. You may hear it read on the internet. But, again, you're in denial. You're not going to think this is going to happen to your child. And, of course, you're not going to even think about your child actually being the perpetrator, not just the victim, but the perpetrator as well.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that's another flip. That's it.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? And but the child, what are some of the, now that you brought that up, one thing I was thinking about is that another reason that children don't tell is because sometimes, you know, with the technology that we have today, you talked about being in the gym and being gang raped. These boys are taking pictures now. They're taking pictures, and they say if you tell anything, they're going to broadcast these pictures. You know, and another thing, they're using that drug, that date rape drug, and putting it in the girl's drink. And then she's doing things under the influence that she would never do. So it looks like she's a willing participant in this rape, or this gang rape, or whatever is taking place. And they threaten her, look, if you say anything, we're going to put these pictures all over the internet. And that's the last thing that anybody would want, to have pictures like this of them in that type of position. Broadcast all over Facebook or Instagram or whatever they're using these days, or Twitter. So because our children are very involved in technology, so that's
right.
Another thing.
Go ahead. I wanted to say, because I gave out a lot of information on why teens don't tell, but I just wanted to break it down quickly. So sometimes a teen won't tell because in retaliation. A teen won't tell because they're in love. A teen may not tell because they're worried that no one will believe them. They also may believe that their boyfriend or girlfriend will change. And then you have the self-blame, where you think you blame yourself for what occurred. Then you're also scared of, again, retaliation, some harm is going to come against you. You also think the fear of the violence getting worse, embarrassment, denial. And then one thing we didn't touch about, and I'm just going to say this real quick. If you have a teen that may be in a relationship of the same sex, they may not tell because now they're exposing that they're dating the same sex.
Oh.
So now you have that teenager who's not going to say anything because I don't want you to know that I like girls. And so if this happened to me by girls, and you didn't know that this happened to me, then I'm not going to tell if I was a boy. So hey, that's another show at another time, but that also happened.
Well, yeah, it's very much a part of what we're talking about, because it's, even though a huge part of denial, a huge part of denial with us parents is not that we don't believe that this thing is happening, but we so don't want it to happen. This is something that I wouldn't want to happen in my wildest nightmare, you know?
Right.
So we think about the fact, like, wait a minute, this can't be my reality because this can't, I would never want this to happen to me. I don't want it. I reject it. So part of denial is rejection of the fact that it's actually happening to you and to your child. And this happens so often with parents when it comes to our children maybe getting pregnant, maybe going over to a homosexual relationship, especially as Christians. You know, we're Christians, you know, and, you know, I can't think of my child getting pregnant as a teenager. I can't think of my child being in a homosexual relationship, or I can't think of my child dropping out of school, or I can't think of my child being a perpetrator and beating somebody. And these are things as parents that we reject out of denial because we just don't want to accept that it's happening. We just don't want to, and we choose not to accept. And I think that is kind of like it's cowardly, you know, because we haven't been given the spirit of fear. The Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. And we as parents go into denial, and we're not helping our children because we're afraid of the consequences. We're afraid of what people will say. All of those reasons, we have our own reasons for not believing, but I believe that this is a wake-up call for so many of us to just really begin to face the fact that our children will make their own mistakes in relationships, and we just have to be there for them and lead and guide them in the way that they should go. So that's, those are excellent points that you brought out about why a child wouldn't tell. And then you said something like, you talked about they hope the person will change and self-blame. Wow.
Yeah. I blame myself. And then the love. Some people may not see this as a warning sign, but
I'm sorry, I got to say this. What's love got to do with it? My God, the love? Go ahead. I just had to say that because, you know, love? Go ahead.
What?
That's good.
Yes. What love has to do with what you're thinking of? But unfortunately, well, what happens to you? You may have a 15-year-old, maybe in love. Well, think he or she is in love. And dating someone, saying I love you too quickly to your child can be considered a warning sign. And someone's like, oh, how can that be considered a warning sign? Well, if your child has met this boy 3 days ago, now he's texting saying I love you repeatedly. I love you. I want to spend all my time with you. I just love you. He doesn't know her. Everything he does, he equates that with love. I love you. That's why I want to spend time with you. You know, I love you. That's why you got to come over here with me now. Because I love you. That's why we need to go to this party together. I love you. You can't go to that party. I love you. I want you to wear that outfit. Only that sweater that I like, not the other sweater. I love you. So he used love as a way to dictate and have control over your child. And he doesn't even know her. It's been 3 days. So you have to be careful when your child comes and says, I'm in love, and then you see the actions that happen that from the other person because he's saying he loves her. What is he doing now? What is he doing in regards to, I'm sorry, not what is he doing, what is his actions, rather, in relation to him saying he loves her? Is he doing all those things like texting her, wanting to know where she is? So it's just not cute. It's not always just cute puppy love. Oh, he said he loved her in 3 days. It's okay. No. He may really think he's in love, and he may begin to show her reasons why he thinks he's in love. And he may begin to try to tell her because he's in love, he wants to control her. He wants her to do certain things. So that's just, he may become possessive and controlling. So you have to be careful, even when your child says, this boy loves me or this girl loves me, and they don't even know each other.
Wow.
They don't know each other. And it just happens. So now everything I do, whether it's disrespectful towards you, if I embarrass you, it's okay because he loves me. And that's what the child thinks. He loves me in 3 days. I can't believe it. This boy loved me in 3 days. He didn't know me. Mikey didn't like me or John didn't like me. But Paul comes and Paul loves me after 3 days.
Yes. And that's why it's so important for fathers to affirm your daughters, for the men who are listening. This is woman to man. And even listening to Tina, our expert on teen dating abuse, even listening to her talk, it lets me know how important it is for a father to affirm his daughter and his son, for fathers to have a proper relationship with their daughters and their sons, because we got so many kids, and how many women, I know women now can raise their hands, talk about, I was looking for love in all the wrong places, just looking for love in all the wrong places. And because of that, we wake up looking into all of the wrong faces. We wake up wondering, how did I get in bed with this person, or why am I in this relationship? And even for the teenagers who are listening, Tina will tell you, and I'll tell you too, that abuse is not love. That is not love. Love is not, 2 Corinthians 13 tells us love is not violent. It's not violent. It's not abusive. It's not puffed up. It's not controlling. Love is kind. Love is patient. I wrote about that in my book, Nobody's Business. I wrote a whole chapter. I have a whole scene in there about a teen dating abuse situation. It's amazing. I just thought about it. And Clara talks to Lisa, in the book and tells Lisa what love is and what love is not and how you can tell if a man really loves you. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But, Tina, you have some information about for teenagers that you present in your workshop. How do you know if your friend is in an abusive relationship? And you talk about some of the warning signs. And I want you to just talk to our teens that are listening and even to our parents. How do you know if your friend or your child is in an abusive relationship? What are some of the things that we can look out for? What are some of the warning signs?
Okay. I think I'm going to start off with...
Are you on a speakerphone? I'm getting some feedback.
You get feedback? Can you hear me?
Just a little bit of feedback. Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. You're still getting some... Do I sound okay?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have a caller, too. So before you go into those warning signs, let's take this call. Area code 973. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today. Let your voice be heard. I guess she didn't maybe mean to press one. Sister Roz, did you press one?
Oh, no, it's not me. I'm just enjoying the listening. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. Hi, how are you?
Oh, missing you.
Good. Okay, so we're going to put you back on hold. I thought you had your hand raised. Okay, Tina, let's go ahead. That's our Sister Roz Marshall calling from down south. So, I thought she raised her hand, but we do have a hand raised here now. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, Pastor. This is Sister Daniela calling, and praise the Lord, Sister Tina. Sister Daniela calling.
Hi, God praise the Lord.
You.
God bless you.
God bless. I just wanted to say a few things. My thing is, you know, when I was a teenager, when I was 13 years old, I was involved. It wasn't a long relationship. I was involved with a guy. He was like 19 going on 20. And I was like doing it like real secretive behind my parents' back because they did not allow dating in the household. So I was like trying to sneak to go out dating with older guys because I was very, like, developed when I was a young teenager. And the thing is, my parents found out later. So after they found out later, they told me no, that was it. So I was, like, being obedient. And, you know, I'm telling the teenagers out there, you know, my opinion is I think it's best for a teenager not to date at all from 18 and under. Why I say that is because they should focus on their education first. They should focus on their career when they graduate out of high school and go on to college. And then later on, God will send your mate, your husband, or your wife. And I believe because I've been through that. And also the thing is I want to tell the parents that are listening, the moms or dads out there, they need to really, like, not be, like, real mean. But, you know, you have a right to know what your teenagers are doing. You know, at school, you have a right to know what they're doing at home because they live under your roof and they have to be obedient to them. To their parents. And if they're not paying, you know, they're not putting food in the house or paying a mortgage bill or a gas bill or electric bill, you have a right to know what they're doing. Because
yeah.
When you tell teenagers different things, they get this attitude, they want to suck their teeth and stuff, and there's a lot of parents out there, they want to spoil their kids. But no, when I was a teenager, I worked, and the teenagers out there, they need to work as well. Because the teenagers today, some of them are just off the hook, you know. A lot of teenagers today, they need to learn to work, you know, to provide, and they need to, you know, bring food in the house or pay, like, the lowest bill in the house, so not being disobedient to the parents. When the parents say no, it's no. And the parents,
again,
they have a right to know what the child is doing at home and at school. And even, you know, when the parents are going to bed and the kids are still up, the parents should wait until the child goes to bed first, and then the parents go to bed because when the parents are going to bed and the kids, they're still up, they want to snoop around on the internet looking at, you know, Playboy and making phone calls, having, I guess they call it a sex phone on the phone and talking about nasty, perverted things on the phone. The parents have a right to know what they're doing.
Well, you said a couple of good pointers. I'll pass it back to Kyrie Spine.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. In reference to this, as it relates to dating, each parents want to decide when her child or his child should date. But what I want to do today is just to educate parents about having a conversation with their child about what is a healthy relationship. So you may decide that your child cannot date until 17 or 18. It doesn't mean that you cannot have a conversation with your child about a relationship, what it should look like, okay, how dating was fun. You may give them some of your own experiences. You may ask some questions again. You may talk to them about their friends dating. You may tell them what a healthy relationship looks like. You may tell them the warning signs of, you know, of something that doesn't look good if you're in a relationship. So you don't have to wait until your child starts dating. You start educating them about this now. It's all part of, like, the health requirement. You're talking to them about their body. So you talk to them about dating. But it doesn't mean that because you talk to them about dating that you're saying, okay, go out and date. That's for a parent to decide the age that a child should date. But that the time to educate a child could be at 14 about dating. Doesn't mean that you're going to say, I want my 14-year-old to start dating. I just want to begin to have this conversation about her, what a healthy relationship looks like. Look at me, mom and dad. Look at us. You may tell yourself, look at the way your father treats me. I want you to have a man that treats me, you, the same way your dad treats me. So you just start having a conversation with the child. Doesn't mean that the child's going to date at that age. It's all about getting education and awareness so your child can be equipped. You have to be willing to have that conversation and not be nervous or scared to think that the child's going to want to date. It's all about empowering your child to make the right choices by having a conversation about dating and what it should look like.
Right. Yeah, and I want to say something about that also. That's a great point, Tina. And also, Sister Danielle, a great point that you brought out, because with teen dating, wow, you guys both said so much, but with teen dating, even if you tell your child they can't date, I once heard a teenager under my roof, my 14-year-old, put on Twitter, because I saw something on Twitter that she posted, and I confronted her about it on her Twitter page, and then she responded on her Twitter page, doesn't my mom know that strict parents make sneaky kids? And I saw that on her Twitter page, and I confronted her about that. And I said, I told you when I let you get a Twitter page that I was going to be monitoring that page. I said, now, what you want me to, you must want me to shut it down, because what you should have done was said my mom was absolutely right. I shouldn't have said what I said on my Twitter page instead of making this smart remark about strict parents make sneaky kids. But that was me getting into the mind of a 14-year-old. She let me in through her Twitter page to know that kids are going to be sneaky, especially if they think they're being you're coming down on them too hard. And then the next thing on her Twitter page, she put, "I love my mom so much. She's the best mom in the world." She knew I was going to be checking that Twitter page. So that's one thing that we can do as parents, because of so much electronic cell phones and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We need to be abreast. We need to be on top of what our kids are doing on the Internet. We need to know, not prohibit them from Twitter and Facebook. My daughter can't have a Facebook page yet, but at least be monitoring. Don't let them loose. And like you said, Sister Daniela, don't go to bed and leave your kid up with the cell phone and then all night in their room with the cell phone. My daughter has to leave her cell phone downstairs. When she goes up to bed, she has to put her cell phone on the counter in the kitchen on the charger. There's no need for her to take a cell phone to bed. So we have to put restrictions in place, but not be too restrictive when it comes to our children. Because like you said, Sister Daniela, your mother did not know that you were out there in this relationship as a teenager at a young age, being involved with this older boy. That was something you snuck and did. And I want to talk to the teenagers out there. Don't do it. Don't sneak. If mommy says no, daddy says no, they know what's in your best interest. So don't be sneaky, because you're going to get in a whole bunch of trouble being sneaky. Great points. That you, one more thing, Sister Tina, that's great what you said about informing our children. We tell our kids, don't come home pregnant. Don't bring no babies up in here.
Yes.
But they don't even know that if you put that penis in the vagina, chances are you're going to make a baby. You know, they don't even know that because nobody has really sat down and broke it down. Some of our kids even think, I hope maybe not today, but back in the day, I thought you could get pregnant by tongue kissing, you know. So we need to inform our young people, look, this is something we need to sit down. That is so great. Sit down and have the talk with them. Listen, you're getting older. You're liking this boy. My daughter's been liking boys since third, fourth grade. I have no idea. Looking at little boys sideways, you know, liking little boys. So they like the boys, and the boys like the girls at a young age. So we need to sit down at a young age, like you said, preteen, Sister Tina, and begin to talk to our kids and say, look, you like him, but don't get caught, don't go to his house. Don't get caught in, don't go to his room. Don't get caught in the alleyway or hallway, back hallway of the school, touching and feeling and grinding and bumping and carrying on. You tell them not to do it because then you tell them why. And then you say, let me talk to you about relationships. We're talking about healthy relationships now. I think a huge part of this team that is that our kids are having sex. And because they're having sex, the hormone that can't control sex, because we are grown women, we have sex with the wrong man, we're in trouble. You know, we have sex before marriage, we're in trouble because there's a hormone that's induced through sexual activity that is released. It's almost like a drug. And so our kids certainly can't handle sex. And I think a lot of our children are out there having sex, getting caught up with these dudes, confusing sex with love, confusing abuse with love, and it's all mixing in there together. So we need to have these conversations. Tina, I agree with you 100%. We need to be having these conversations about sex, about dating, about what love is, about what love is not, and about what abuse is.
Yes.
What is abuse? What are the warning signs? How do you know if you're being abused? How do you know if a friend is being abused? So thank you so much, Daniela, for calling in and letting your voice be heard. I don't know if you had anything else before Tina begins to break down to us the warning signs.
I just want to say one more thing, and I think it's an excellent program, Lifetime. They have a lot of teenage movies on Lifetime that they show what teenage girls and teenage boys are going through. It was this one movie I've seen. It was a boy. He was, like, very controlling with his girlfriend. I think then he was, like, 16 or 17 years old. I forgot the name of the movie, but it's like if she was in the classroom, he would text and ask where she is. She'd be home. He would call up and say, well, why you ain't called me? And one time she got in the car with him, and he smashed the roof on her face, and her nose started bleeding. So at the end of the movie, the parents of the daughter was pressing charges against the boy. I said that's really sad because there's a lot of abuse going on in teenage relationships. And like you said, Pastor Rebecca, there's a lot of teenagers out there, they just having sex.
Yeah. So that's something that we have to be aware of. Lifetime, I like Lifetime because they deal with real subjects, real life subjects. And I saw that movie. And we're going to talk about that later on, too, about how to get out of these relationships. Tina's going to help us with that because this boy, I think if I'm thinking about the same movie, Daniela, this boy bought a gun and said, I'm going to kill you. If I can't have you, can't nobody have you, and I'm going to kill you and kill myself. And she was able to talk him out of that nonsense. So this is something, you're right, we need to deal with this. So thank you so much, Sister Daniela, for calling in and letting your voice be heard. And if you want to come back later, you could push one again and we'll put you back on the air. I'm going to have Tina break down some of the warning signs of these type of relationships, abusive relationships.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thank
God bless.
You.
God thank bless. You, Sister Daniela, for calling in.
Thank you, Sister Tina.
You're welcome.
Hey, man. So, Tina, that was a good call. That was a good call.
Yes, it was.
So,
yes.
So why don't you go ahead and give us some of the warning signs? How do we know, now that we know that our kids are some of our children will sneak and have a relationship, even though they've been told not to. Like I told you, Kayla is 14. She can't date. But I hear her talk about boys, 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 this boy and that boy and this boy, and I like him. I thank God that she's open enough to tell me that she likes this boy, and I like this boy last year, and I like this boy in fifth grade, and I like, you know, but no, she hasn't dated anyone. So thank God for that, that open line of communication. Tina said earlier that we need to keep the communication lines open with our young people. So, Tina, help the young people and the parents to know, how do I know if my friend or my child, son or daughter, is in an abusive relationship?
Well, as it relates to the parent, how would you know what you should look for? There are some warning signs that a parent should look for. Is your child's partner extremely jealous or possessive? Have you noticed any unexplained marks or bruises on your child? Does your child partner emails or texts excessively? Yes, that can be a form of abuse. If they're texting constantly and asking your child, what you doing, where are you, what time are you going to be home, or email, that can be a problem. You notice that your child was once happy, joyful. Now your child is very depressed or anxious. Your son or daughter stopped participating in extracurricular activities or other interests. The child wanted to be involved in so many activities. Now the child is more isolating him or herself. Okay. Your child stopped spending time with other friends and family. You only notice your child spending time with that boy. Or if the girl, I mean, a boy spending time with that girl. So now the other friends are no longer around. You notice that your child partner abuses other people. So you actually have witnessed your son's, your daughter's boyfriend say something abusive to someone in front of you. And your child begins to dress differently. You once had a child who used to dress with beautiful colors. And I like to give example when I speak, so if anyone's wondering, like, why did she break it down? Because I don't like to just give you information and don't give you examples on it. If you have a child who once was dressing with beautiful colors, like bright colors, and used to express herself, now all of a sudden you notice every day this child just throws on a sweatsuit. Doesn't care if it's iron or not iron. I just got a sweatsuit on, sweatpants. I'm no longer doing my hair. I put it up in a ponytail, and your child just looks fat. There's a problem. There's a reason why. There's a reason now that you need to have a conversation with this child, because you've noticed that her behaviors have changed physically, mentally, and emotionally. Basically, that's the thing. You notice all three of those things have changed based on the warning signs. And now it's time to sit down with your child and find out what's going on. If you are a child and you're in an abusive relationship, some warning signs these are some warning signs. If you notice that your partner is getting serious too quickly, if your boyfriend or girlfriend acts jealous and possessive, constantly want to know what you're doing, doesn't want anyone to say hello to you. If you're a young girl, he doesn't want any of his friends to say hi to you. He doesn't want you to talk to any other boys. He just wants you to be with him. So he's real jealous. If you're seen with another boy just walking down the hall having a conversation, what happens later, he's going to approach you and say, what were you talking about? Why were you laughing? What did he say to you? Because he's extremely jealous and possessive. If the young man or young lady uses guilt trips, constantly, if you don't do something that he or she doesn't want, if you don't do what he or she asks you to do, they use a guilt trip. Oh, I thought you loved me. I thought you would have cared about me. I thought you felt the same way. So constantly, if you say no, they use a guilt trip. Keep you from seeing your family, blame you as the cause of the abuse, the person would say to you, you pushed my button. You're the reason why I'm abusing you. You are the reason why I'm hitting you, because you did not follow my instructions. You didn't do what I asked you to do. I asked you to come home at this time. You got home around 9, so now when I see you in school, I'm going to confront you about that. If the person pressures you for sex, controls you, makes all your decisions, you no longer can think for yourself. The person wants to make every decision. He wants to tell you what to put on, where you're going to go, and what you're going to eat. He totally controls you. Example, you notice that your girlfriend is out with her boyfriend and you're on a group date. The waiter comes up and asks for the order. Okay, you're in a restaurant, I'm sorry, and the waiter comes up and says to your girlfriend, what would you like to order? Well, her boyfriend looks at her and says, she doesn't order. I know what she's going to eat. You don't ask her any question. Everything, you know, you just only talk to me. She's going to order this and that. That's it. Now, some may think that that's funny, and you may laugh, but he means it. He really means it. You do not talk. You do not speak. You talk to me only. So, again, that's just another example of what it can look like. If the person uses violence or intimidates you, if the person has a history of bad relationships, if you know a boy has dated a friend of yours in school or associate of yours in school, and you noticed or you heard that this particular person said he was abusive towards her, don't just laugh it off and say, okay, it was just her. Maybe she wasn't the type of girl that he liked. Be careful. If you heard it and if you consistently hear that he's being abusive towards young ladies, then when he approaches you, that is not a person that you need to get in a relationship with. Don't laugh it off. Don't think that you can change him. Don't think it was the girl's fault. You don't enter into that relationship. He has a history of bad relationships. You've heard it from girls. You heard it from boys. Do not enter into that relationship. If the person reacts unpredictably and explosively, what happens with that in that situation, no matter the way you respond to his question or no matter what you say, he automatically just gets upset out of the blue. He asks you a question, you don't answer fast enough for him, and he's mad. You didn't answer quickly. You didn't hear me. I asked you a question. And you're thinking, well, I was going to answer, but I'm doing something on the computer while I'm talking to you on the phone. And he's still very upset, and he's very angry. He's very aggressive. That's another warning sign. And then if he always apologizes and makes excuses for abusive behavior, after he hits you, now he apologizes. So these are warning signs. These are just definitely warning signs. Usually abuse start off in the relationship may start off just liking each other. Then you have the love. Then you may have the nurturing. And it's called the cycle of violence. You have the love, the nurturing, liking each other, and then you have the tension where now you don't know if he's going to be explosive at any moment. Then you have the explosion actually happen. And then you have the abuse, and then you have the apology. So cycle of violence, love, tension, explosion, abuse, and apology.
Yeah, that's the cycle. That is the cycle, and thank you, because that is some good information that we need to know. So the cycle is the love, tension, abuse, and then an apology.
Love, yes. Love, tension, explosion after the tension, then the abuse, and then an apology.
Yeah, and we need to write those down. Even as older women, we need to write that down so that we can know if we're even in an abusive cycle. So many times, like maybe we started experiencing as women abusive relationships as teens, and we never broke the cycle, and we go into one abusive relationship after another. There's some women who are listening now, Tina, who are in right here when you're talking about that cycle, love, tension, explosion, abuse, and apology. And it repeats itself over and over and over again. And you said something, the man will often tell you and or the woman, if she's the abuser, will often tell you, look what you made me do.
Right.
This is your fault. The boy or the girl for teenagers will always say, look what you made me do. You made me hit you. Why do you keep doing this to me? And they'll act like they're the victim when they're really the ones who are perpetrating a crime against you. We have another caller. Let's take another caller at this time, and then we'll talk some more about not just the warning signs, but how to get out, how to help somebody, or how to break up with someone who's abusive. Area code 646, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello?
Let your voice be heard. Yes.
Bell codes. We have bell codes in the house.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're on the air?
Yeah. I was just wondering, do you guys have Battletoads?
Do we have what?
Battletoads. It's these little toads, and they go to war with each other.
No, we don't have any toads. We call it the wrong place.
My dad gave me
with
a Battletoad.
The local pet store. God bless you. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, he needs to call his pet store. He's looking for toads. Okay, we always get some prank calls. We don't get mad. We're just glad that people are listening because this is just such an important topic, and everybody's welcome. We have another caller. Let's put this caller on the air. Area code 240, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today. Let your voice be heard.
Hello, Rebecca. This is OP. I have a question for you.
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with OP.
OP. Hi, OP. How are you?
Well, this is OP, and like I said, I have a question. Please bear with me because it might seem off topic, but I promise it's not. Are you ready for my question?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a glass of water and an oven?
Okay.
Nigger.
I'm not interested. Area code 224, you're on the air. Let your voice be heard.
Hello, yes. Hey, is this Rebecca?
Okay. Area code 252. God bless you. Hey, Gary, how are you? God bless you. Is this Vonda?
No, this is your brother.
Hey, honey, how are you?
Fine. I'm just enjoying your show.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you tuned in today.
What was that?
You have us on the radio. You have us on speaker.
I'm online.
Okay, turn your speaker on your computer down.
I'm online.
Okay, turn your speaker on your computer
down. How's that? Okay, great. So you have a question or a comment for our guest today?
No, because my son is only 5, and I was just enjoying the show.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to need this information when he grows up. This is your first, like you said, you only have one. And I was looking at the picture of you guys on Facebook today. Very nice picture. This is my brother Gary calling from North Carolina. And his son is 5. Little G is 5 years old. So, but you'll be amazed at how fast they grow. So, Satina, what age would he begin to talk to his son about relationships and dating?
Well, I would say he should start talking to his son around. Crushes usually begin. He may start crushing around 11. Some depends on the child. So around 11 to 12. You should start having that conversation because the statistics have shown that about age 14, the child already has an idea of what a relationship looks like. So at the age of 12, you may begin just to have basic conversation with him about respecting a young lady. You may not go directly into dating, but how you should treat a young lady like I treat your mother. So you start giving him the fundamentals of having a relationship with a woman and how to treat a woman. And that's key. So you just basically begin to build up his character So once you begin to build up his character, then you go into the next step of now. This is what your character looks like now because we done talked about it. This is the way I want you to act like a gentleman. Now I want you to take these steps and apply it to the dating, and then you can go from there.
You got that, bruh?
Yes, I got it, and I think you're right because at this time right now, my son is always talking about a girlfriend. He's only 5 years old, but he told me that he had a friend, and she's a girl, but it's not really a girlfriend. But I think a 10 is a good age, like you said. And another thing is, like, the way you treat, what I treat his mother, which is my wife, you know, with respect and everything else, and I think that will help, you know.
Right.
So he won't be abusive and things like that, in that nature.
A lot of times a child will emulate what he or she sees in their home. So if he knows that you pull out to care for your mom, I mean for your wife, he would think about doing that when he's dating someone.
You're absolutely right, Tina, because he watches everything I do and say, and believe me, he's right there on my hip. So he's watching me.
Parents have to realize that you're the number one influence on your child. The number one. Some may say, no, that can't be the case. But they have television, but no, you have to feed that positive energy to your child. You have to give them that information about relationship and dating. Your child should be able to come to you, and you should be able to influence your child. You know, I understand typically that there are other outside influence, but you want to be the main source. You don't want your child to think the main source is a man down the street or someone in school or their friends.
Exactly.
Friends who parents are not discussing this with them, so a lot of their information is not valid. So now your child is being educated by someone of their same age who's uninformed, and now your child is going to take their steps and apply it to a relationship. So
okay,
you have
thank
to be
you.
First and foremost, to speak to your child about relationship, and then later on, your child will have other influences that will come in, but you actually planted the seeds. But when the other information comes in, your child will know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, and I don't know, Gary, you might have to break that down to little G earlier, because I remember you. My brother has been married for 26 years. Happy anniversary, honey. Happy
28 years.
28 years. Years married to his childhood sweetheart, who he got when she was in the sixth grade, y'all. I'm telling you, he went over to the playground, told Vonda that she was going to be his wife, and he was only, what were you, in the eighth grade?
Yeah, I was about 12 or 13.
So you might need to have that talk a little bit earlier. And Tina, I don't know, because he did threaten her, told her he was going to beat anybody up if he caught them talking to her.
Wow, okay.
But they've been married. They are a wonderful couple. My husband and I had the honor of renewing their 25-year vow after 25 years of being married, and we had the honor of facilitating that service. And they are a wonderful example of a married couple. And they've dealt with their issues, you know, and God.
Like every couple does.
Yeah, like every couple. And God has brought them to a place where they are a prime example for a child, for little D, growing up in the household, seeing how a man should treat a woman. So, but you may have to sit him down earlier because he's already talking about a little girlfriend. And he might need to have that talk because he might be like his dad and pick his wife out when he's in eighth grade.
You might be right, Pastor. I think you're right.
So tell
I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you, Pastor. I want to thank you, Tina, for the comment. I definitely agree with what you said about teaching him early and being a role model, and so he don't learn it from the streets or he don't learn it from the school. So you know how to treat a woman, you know, with respect and not getting an abusive relationship.
Right. That is true.
Yeah.
The first role model should be your parents.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for calling in. I'm honored that you took the time out to listen to the show today, Gary.
Yes. You know I got to listen to you every now and then, sis.
All right. Well, thanks. So you have any more questions or comments?
No, I'm just going to enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, great. Awesome. My switchboard is so full. We have 19 callers, and it's about 10 of them with their hands raised. We have some people pranking us today, so I'm going to take a couple calls and see what's going on. Gary, you take care. I love you.
All right, God bless you, sis.
God bless you.
Amen. That's my biological brother, Chief Gary Thomas, 23 years in the Navy, 28 years married, longevity for sure, and I'm so proud of him. I love him so much. So we're going to take another call. Area code 201, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today. Let your voice be heard.
I don't know if it's me or not.
Yes, it's you.
Okay, my name is Harriet, and I'm a friend of Tina Lane. She texted me to get on the line. And I've been listening to you all, and you said one of the things I was going to say, that the talk for these kids today has to be earlier, because a lot of them are learning earlier, and they see a lot more, and they have a lot more questions. A lot of things that we used to be hidden from and mentioned to us and in code in so many words by our parents. I'm a mother of eight, so I know what it is to when your child approaches you, and you don't know what to say to them. But in this day and time, it can't be I don't know what to say to them anymore, because when they come to you with questions, we need to answer those questions. And we need to answer them honestly instead of going around the bush. You know how they spoke to us about the birds and the bees and the this and the that? It's no longer that anymore. It's reality, because children are having children early, and then you got all of these diseases that are out here. So the talks need to start earlier, even if they don't understand at all. They'll understand something, because there are other children that are coming from other families that may know a little bit more than your child. So when they come to that child and they start talking to them, and now that child has a question, that child's going to come to you, or he's going to go outside the family to somebody else, a total stranger, to get information. And sometimes that's the wrong step to take, because you don't know what the other person is telling your child. So, and the other thing was, when I heard you talking about relationships, when you meet someone and you're interested in that someone, and that other someone is interested in you, you should find out his background before you make it a serious attempt.
Yeah.
Because you'll know how this person is from his background. That's his parents. That's even his cousins. That's even his aunts. When you can meet some of these people and you can see how they are, you can kind of judge the type of person that you may be getting involved with, he or she. See, so that's my advice that I have. And as I said, as I was listening, the show is very interesting. But in this day and time, we need to be real with these kids, because a lot of them don't understand. And some information out there, as I said, they get. It's the wrong information. And then they wind up in trouble.
Yeah.
Basically all I have to say. But I've been married 35 years, and I have 13 grandchildren within all of them time. All that. And my grandchildren even have questions. My older ones, they have questions for me. Do I go around the book with them? No. I tell them the truth. They may be surprised, but it's a reality today, in this day and time.
Thank you, Harriet, because that is, first of all, thank you for calling in. I am totally surprised. Oh, my God. I'm totally surprised that you're calling to the show. Amen.
Okay. You know me, and you know my family. So
yes. Your family is my family. You're not just my friend. You're my sister. But that's a whole other topic. But anyway, I love you for calling in, and you made some very, very good points. You have to be honest. You have to be direct. You know, and that's the approach that you stated should be taken, because these children have so many other outside influences and other things that are happening right away. Right now, you have children who are having children at younger ages. We have these diseases. We have a lot of children with HIV. unfortunately, at the age of 12 and 13, we do have statistics show that children have HIV at the age of 12 and 13 from having unprotected sex. So we have to be direct with our children. We have to be honest with them. We have to come be as honest as we can with them. And they ask questions that we may not agree with them asking that question, but be honest. Give them the best answer that you can. And if you feel as though as a parent that your information, you don't have all the tools and the information you're giving your child is not the best, then there's other places you can reach out, other places, other people, such as myself or other agencies that can come in and say, okay, listen, I can give you some more tools and techniques. Your child asked you a question you couldn't answer. You didn't know the right answer. You were just surprised that this question even came from your child. It's okay. It's okay.
And the main thing you don't want to do is lash out at them when they ask the question.
Right.
The first thing the parent's going to think is, why do you want to know? You know, that's the wrong attitude.
Right.
Because, as I said, if you don't answer it and you give an attitude, or if they're afraid to come to you, they're going to go outside. They're going to go outside. So it's not being their friend. It's being a good parent.
Amen.
That's basically all it is.
Yeah, it's so important, and I commend you for being married 35 years.
I've been with him 45.
Wow, that is a blessing. I commend you for that. I have to give you some applause for that also. That is awesome. Awesome that you have been married 35 years, been with some 45, and that's some great wisdom that you were giving us. Because if we don't talk, and like you and Tina both said, if we don't talk to our kids, then they're going to learn all of the things that they need to know, and they'll learn it the wrong way from the wrong sources. So we have to get that information. Again, I do believe that we have to talk to them earlier because, I mean, 10, 11, by age 10, 11, 9, they already know a lot about relationships from the television, from the internet, from their friends. So they're already learning a lot of stuff, and we cannot shut them down when they come to us. We do have to be open because even though we don't want to hear sometimes the questions or the comments that our children will present to us, we need to be open to hear, because if we're not open to hear, we're clueless as to what's going on with them, and we need to have a clue as to what's going on with our kids. And I think a big problem is even in the church, because we don't want to talk about this stuff in the church. You know, we go to church, and our teenagers and our young people are being inundated with adult with sermons that they really find to be totally irrelevant to them. So we need to just really begin to have forums and platforms like this, and even bring in people like Tina to our churches even, so that she can educate not only the children but the adults, the parents.
Well, Tina has visited my church, and our church has what's called a Sunshine Band and a Purity Class. So we have those classes for our young people.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we're talking about now, they're taught that stuff, and Tina can vouch for all of that because we have that. And as you said, they need to, I mean, you saying it's 8 and 9, we're looking back as far as 5 and 6 for some of them, you know, because and some of them will say some things that you wouldn't think that they would understand it, but they do.
Yeah. And that's where the home has to meet up with the church, because if we're not setting a good example in our home, or if we're not censoring some of the things that our children are exposed to, then we are, you know, we're guilty of helping our children to be too informed about adult issues at an early age. Like in our house, our children were not able to watch R-rated movies. And some people will say, well, they couldn't watch the R-rated movies. But even some of the programming on TV, we would censor that programming, like if there's profanity in the programming or certain things going on, adult issues, we would censor our children from watching them. And even now our children, they're 14 and 20, they live under our roof. They'll turn the channel when some of that stuff is coming on because they have been conditioned to turn away from it. But people will say, well, that's ignorance, because they're going to go outside and they're going to go to their friends' houses and they're going to be exposed to it. And that's true, but that does not mean because they're going to be exposed to it outside that I have to allow it under my roof. You know, and I don't just say don't do it, but I tell them why. It's training up the child. And we have to, you know, just be mindful to train up our young people so that they are not ignorant as to what's going on, so they're not experiencing culture shock when they do go to college or when they do go out outside of our houses. But be open and have the conversation. Everybody, I think, is on the same page. Talk to our children. Don't shut them down. Talk to your kids about everything, because they want to know about everything, and they're going to find out one way or another. So I thank you so much for that, making that point. Excellent point.
Okay, I'm just continue to listen. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Harriet. Love you. Thank you for calling in.
Great call. Thank you so much for calling in. We have another caller. We have quite a few callers. I'm going to screen this caller. See who this is. God bless you. Hi. Welcome to the show. Area code 571. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to take another caller. Area code 754. You're on the air. Welcome to the show today. Let your voice be heard.
God bless you, Dr. Simmons.
I receive it. Dr. Simmons, I receive it in the name of Jesus. God bless you, Apostle Amica.
The young lady was talking about the Sunshine Band and Purity Class. I said, and you can't forget YPWW. That sounds like Kojic to me. Kojic background, Sunshine Band, and the Purity Class. But all, and see what the church of today does not realize the importance of those entities that were instituted in that organization. And if we did more things, you know, like that, we wouldn't have so. You know, a lot of I watch. You know, there was a big flourish of churches having youth centers and everything, and they had, you know, bowling centers and reaching out to the youth, but that did not stop youth pregnancy. You would go to these things, instead of them teaching you Jesus, they're teaching you other things, and then after that, now your daughter's walking in the door pregnant. Where did you get that from? Where did you go? I went to the church for the youth program, and now you're coming back pregnant. But y'all was talking earlier. We try to be quick. You was talking earlier, and you brought back something, and I was just sitting here thinking, doing my high school days. I like this young lady in high school, and she turned me down and went with my best friend. But I really didn't have a problem with that. I was kind of a little hurt behind it. But my best friend, man, now the young lady's coming to school with a lip busted, black eye with and everything. And I told her, I said, now, I bet you wish that it came to me now. But then, like she said, what was going on in his world? What, his father wasn't there. His mother was a single parent. So I'm just sitting here thinking, I said, you must have seen his father handle his mother this way for him to think this is the way to treat a young lady, is to hit her and fight her and beat her up and everything. And I'm like, wow, you know. So a lot of stuff, as you said, is hereditary. You've seen your parent act this way, so you feel this is the way that we're supposed to treat each other. And again, the church does not deal with those issues. And I would like to see more of it in our churches. Thank you.
Yeah. Sister Tina, I don't know if you wanted to respond to that.
No, I was going to say, yes, that is true. You do want to see it more in the churches. And you're right when reference to what Sister Harriet called, and she is Kojic. So saying depression, yes, that's something they do in the purity class. So you do want to have those class, those discussions. Even in my ministry, in my church at Family Union, we do have a youth organization or youth advisors that talk about certain things such as this, dating, and as well as other issues concerning the youth. And then, but also I wanted to point out, we have some of the youth that are some parents that may be listening that do not attend a church. They do not attend any religious organization. So we want to also empower them to go out to other organizations to get the assistance that they need, because they may not be going to the church homes to receive this information. So if you're not going to a church home and you don't you don't have access to this information in your home, please visit some other organization, and I'm going to get websites out there to help you. But it's always good, you know, that the churches have it in their congregations, and they're giving back and they're teaching the youth, because it's important. They need to know this is a different age and a different time than it was maybe 30 or 40 years ago, like Sister Harry was saying. But we didn't educate right away. My mom didn't say a lot of things to me as a child. But now that I'm older, I have nieces that I had conversations with at an early age. I had nieces that I have nieces that I talk to at an early age now, because I understand the influences that are out there. And so I want to be one of the people to influence them, not just the media or their friends. I want to just give them some information, some tools and resources. So when they're 19 and 21 and another one is 5, but then I want to still educate them, because when they come across a situation, I want them to remember the tools and the resources I gave them.
Yeah, and that's good. So, Apostle Mamka, I just thank you so much for calling in and making that point that we do need more of this, and even giving an example, because so many people probably can look back on their lives and pick up examples of being in abusive situations as young people. And back then, our parents did not talk about this stuff, but I thank God for a day and age where we are coming out and being more vocal about what's going on. In this last few minutes, we have a few more minutes. Maybe we'll have a chance to hear from you again, Apostle Amica. But what I want Sister Tina to do is talk to us about how to get out, because we're running out of time. I wanted to talk about how to get out of abusive relationships, because we have, I don't believe those were teenagers calling and pranking us. I mean, there were quite a few. When I began to screen the calls, they didn't want to come on the air. But I believe we do have some teenagers listening to us, and even for the parents, how do we get out? How do our children get out of abusive relationships?
Okay. How you can help a teenager get out of abusive relationships? Many different ways. First thing you want to do is help them to get out safely. Safety is key, so you want them to get out safe. I want to say this. I'm going to give a telephone number for the National Teen Domestic Violence Hotline, and I want everyone, once I give it, I want you to put it in your phone. If you're a teenager, please put it in your cell phones, because more than likely you have a cell phone. But if you're ever in a situation where it's abusive, you think you're going to be harmed in any way, please dial 911. It's good to have the hotline number, but if you're in a serious situation at that moment, you need to contact the police, the authorities right away. To get your teen out of an abusive relationship or your friend, first thing you want to do is help your friend to recognize the abuse with specific examples, because the person may not realize that they're in an abusive relationship. So you may have to give them examples of their behavior to begin to illustrate it and demonstrate it, so they can understand that this is not normal. This is abnormal. Listen and be non-judgmental. The person is not going to want to leave a relationship if you're judging them and you're blaming them for staying in that relationship. You have to be able to listen and be non-judgmental. That's hard, but it's important. Keep the line of communication open. Do not get offended if the person does not listen to you right away. It's a step-by-step process. That particular day, maybe she didn't want to listen to you. But maybe tomorrow she will. So I don't want you as a friend or the parent or the guardian, whatever, to stop the line of communication because now you're upset. Realize that a person who's in an abusive relationship does not always react in a manner that is appropriate to get out of a relationship, because their level of thinking right now may be a little irrational, and your level of thinking is rational. Rational thinking is like, okay, why would you stay in a relationship and allow somebody to continue to hit you? But that person's thinking, well, I equate that with love. I would equate that with he's my best friend. So continue to keep the lines of communication open. Encourage your friend to tell an adult, to tell someone that they trust, sometimes even their parents, okay? If your friend won't tell anyone, you should. If you think your friend is going to be harmed, you think your friend is being abused, if you think your friend is being abused physically, emotionally, verbally, it doesn't matter. It's physically, verbally, emotionally, definitely sexually, you need to tell someone, okay? And you also can tell your friend on your team to call the National Teen Dating Abuse Hotline, 866-331-9474. One of the ways to help the person is to make sure when the teen is at the point of breaking up, you want the teen to break up safely. So there are some tips, and there's a website I would love for everyone to go to. It's called loveisrespect.org. www.loveisrespect.org. And on that website, you can go in to it and you can go to a checklist. And it's a teen dating safety checklist to get out of a relationship that is unhealthy. And it gives you the tips of what you should do to get out of that relationship that is unhealthy. And it's just very important that you go in there because it gives you steps. Also, if you want to break up, you want to break up in a public, you don't want to break up in public with the person. You may not want to, or by text. You don't want to be in that person's household or just a place where it's just you and him. That's not safe. So you want to break up in the public, okay? Have everyone you know watch out for you. Everyone that you know, have them watch out for you. Be aware abuser may stalk you or harass you. So be aware of that. Just because, now that you said it was over, be aware that the abuser may still continue to stalk you or harass you. So that's why it's very important to tell other people, tell your family, your friends what's going on, and most important, don't get back together. So again, breaking up safely is telling your family and friends you are breaking up. Break up in public or by text. Have everyone watch out for you. Be aware the abuser may stalk or harass you, and don't get back together. That is key.
Yeah, very key. And again, that website is www.loveisrespect.org. Wow, we're at the end of our time. We have one more call I'm going to put on the air, and then I'm going to get your personal information for those who want to get in touch with Tina and have her come and do this workshop at your church. Area code 609, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today. Let your voice be heard.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Taylor.
Hi, Taylor. How are you, honey?
I'm all right, but personally, I've been abused by my ex-boyfriend. But you want to know what he said to me, though?
What did he say?
He said, "What the fuck did you just say about me, you little bitch? I'll have you know."
Yeah, and see, that's Taylor playing around. Taylor, you know, you got to be careful about how you play around on the phone, because this is a very serious topic. And the thing about it is that a lot of girls your age are being abused. So, you know, those little boys that you're playing around with that have been calling the show all since we've been on the air, you know, you guys need to take this seriously, because the world that we're living in can get very dangerous, and you can get to a point where you find yourself in an abusive situation. So I would suggest, Taylor, that you go back and the boys that have been calling, and you all go back and listen to the archives, you know, because there's a lot you have to learn, especially when you call and disrespect adults like that. So there's a lot that you have to learn, Taylor, and your friends, all of you who have been in the chat room and those of you who've been calling in, that, you know, certain things you just don't do, you know. And there's an old saying, it's not in the Bible, but it says God don't like ugly. So, you know, you really need to shape up, young lady. You need to improve that. You get your act together and stop acting crazy because you're heading for trouble. Tina?
Amen. That is so true. That is so true.
You know, get your act together. You're heading for trouble. You're going to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you're going to need some help yourself. So you're heading for trouble. That's very disrespectful for you to call a show where there are adults and use that kind of language.
Right. That is very disrespectful. And her name was Taylor. She doesn't know that it's information she really needs to be listening to. Because she doesn't know if she may be in that situation or has really been in that situation and finds it to be funny right now. So it's interesting that she would call and joke about it, but hopefully later on maybe she'll listen to the archives and realize that this is an important issue.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tina, give us your we're actually at the end of our time. We only have 4 more minutes. Give us your information, and I don't mind. Like I said, prank callers will call, and this is a Christian show. I don't know if Taylor and her friends are aware of that, but, you know, that's why we're here, you know, for the sinner, like you, Taylor, and your little friends, to come to know Jesus Christ so that you can live a better way, live a better life. You know, Jesus came so that you can have life and have that life more abundantly, so that you can have a better life. You don't have to live, you know, in the life of profane things. God wants better for you. So, Tina,
Amen.
Why don't you go ahead and give us, I know they're listening, so, you know, get it together. Just get it together, young people. Young people, get it together. Wake up. Wake up, young people. Wake
That's
up
right.
and get it together.
Wake up
Tina,
and get it together.
Yeah. Yes. Wake up, get it together. You're going to need this stuff. You're going to need this information. So, Tina, why don't you go ahead and give us your information for those who are listening who will want to get in touch with you. Tina does these workshops on teen dating abuse. She does workshops on self-esteem and other topics and domestic violence. She's an advocate. She's trained in this area, and you can get in touch with her. She's going to give us her information now.
Okay. I prefer to be in, you know, you can get in contact with me via email, and I have 2 email addresses that I'm going to give out. The first one is Tina L, as in Larry, @yahoo.com. Tina L. @yahoo.com. And then the second one is a Gmail account. You can contact me at tinal.l3371@gmail.com. tinal.l3371@gmail.com. Please contact me in the subject field. You can put in teen dating. If you heard me on the show, teen dating abuse, Pastor Rebecca show, so automatically I know that you're calling in reference to TDA, teen dating abuse, or you're interested in having me for a workshop, TDA workshop. Just put something in the subject line, so I'll be sure I'll listen, I'll look at it, and I'll get back to you.
Wow. Okay, great. Awesome, Tina. Awesome.
Pastor Rebecca, I just want to reiterate one thing, because a teen guide to safety planning is just very important. So, again, that website, www.loveisrespect.org, and it gives you a workbook and how you can stay safe at home, at school, staying safe emotionally getting help in your community. It gives you information, what you should do. It's 4 pages. You can download it, print it out, so you can understand why do I need to have a safety plan, what is a safety plan. It's basically, it's a way to, it's a practical guide that helps lower your risk of being hurt by your abuser. And how do I make a safety plan? You go through this, you look at these sheets and you go through and you fill out this information. Some of the information may be you're telling your friends where you are at different times so they know that if you didn't report here at 4 o'clock like you normally do, someone knows now, I'm going to check and see if she's okay. Maybe taking some important documents that you have, your birth certificate, Social Security, making sure that it's stored somewhere else. Safety plans for the teen is similar to a safety plan that an adult woman or adult man who's being abused uses as well. It's all about prevention and having you to get out of that relationship in a safe manner. So the level of the risk level may be lower because you have a safety plan. That's what we say. It doesn't mean, you know, everything's going to occur, that you may not have no challenges in your safety plan, but we know that if you have one in place, the risk level may be lowered of getting out of the relationship safe.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's powerful information. So make sure you go on over to that website and get that safety plan. And we thank you so much, Tina, for being with us. Is this another caller? Area code 908, are you calling back?
Yeah, Pastor Rebecca, can you hear me?
Yes.
I just wanted to say something, you know, a comment, you know, to some of the teenagers that, you know, were pranking the call, that they was very rude and disrespectful. And this show was for teenagers to help you, you know, from your age from now to the future, you know. If, you know, we're, you know, if certain adults and pastors not, you know, there to minister to you and try to help you, to encourage you, and to need to, you know, to try to be rude and disrespectful, you know. It's very hard out here, and you need to, the teenagers need to take heed to, you know, the 12-year-old girl on today that she laid to rest on today, because today was a young girl's funeral. There was 2 teenage boys that killed her. One was 15, the other one was 17. They strangled her to death. And today was her funeral. So the teenagers out there, like you said, Pastor, they got to take heed to it, you know. They really got to take heed.
Yeah, thank you.
They
thank
really
you for
do.
Reiterating that. Because, you know, we young people playing around, they don't know. They're playing a dangerous game and playing with not only adults, disrespecting adults, but playing with the things of God and playing around this topic of teen dating abuse, which is something that they can use. This is information that they can use. I just pray that they will go back to the archives, blogtalkradio.com/power, and get the information. One of them or all of them will get this information and utilize this information to help them to stay safe. So thank you so much, Sister Daniela, for calling back in.
Yes, Sister Daniela.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Daniela.
I love y'all. God bless.
God bless. Love you too. Thank you for calling
Apostle
in.
Amica, thank you so much for calling in. We didn't get a chance to talk to you much. Apostle Amica is going to be my guest real soon, a couple of weeks. Next week we have Marcus Boston coming on. He's the author of A Pastor's Mistake, What to Do When You Know Your Pastor Is Wrong. And he has another book, Tainted Voices, and that deals with the prophetic. He's going to be my guest on next week. And then I believe Apostle Amica is going to come on the following week. We're still correlating our calendars. But Apostle, thank you so much for calling in today to let your voice be heard.
Yes. I just want to add on with what everybody just said. You know, it might not be anything but these young people are dealing with today, but God would have it, as God will allow the devil to put them in the same situation when they should have been listening with informative ears, if they're listening with adolescent ears. And now, because, like you just said, the devil will put children in adult situations.
Oh.
And if that young, these young ladies or these young people, you know, it's because you're praying to God, that God will allow the devil to put you in a place where you was right there where you could have been helped, but because you refuse to hear it now, God says, I will laugh at your calamity. Now you need God, and God's sitting there laughing at you because, oh, what was funny before, now it ain't so funny, huh? And so you know, my heart and my prayers go out for these young people that day, because the day will come. It will come. It's inevitable. You just made an appointment in your life that these situations will come up. And how now what you gonna do? When you should have been trying to find help. Now you refuse help. And can't get help. That's a bad thing. When you need it and can't get it. So we just keep praying the mercy of God to continue over these young people. It's so sad that people don't have grown people. They say they're grown because they're doing grown folk things, but they don't have, they got too much time on their hands to play.
Yeah, and I knew she was going to say something crazy. I was praying she wouldn't, but I knew she was going to know what he said. I could have blocked her then because I knew she was getting ready to say something crazy, but I said, let me let this chick speak. Let this young lady speak, because I knew she was getting ready to say something crazy. But I let her say it, and I've heard profanity before. I've used profanity before. So this is a real world that we live in, and unfortunately a lot of people are still caught up in darkness. So I pray, I'm like you, Apostle Amica, I pray for these young people that they would get saved for real, and I don't think they know Jesus, these people that called them today, but I pray that they will know Jesus one day. I pray that right now in the name of Jesus that they will get saved before something worse happens, like you were saying, before that bad situation confronts them. I pray that they will come to know Jesus even before that happens. So, because we know it's not God's desire that they perish or that any calamity does come, but they're reaping, and they're going to reap things that they really don't want to sow. So they're sowing things that they really don't want to reap. So, we keep praying for them. Amen. So thank you so much, Apostle Amica, and I'm looking forward to having you as my guest.
Yes, ma'am. I enjoy what I heard from Sister Tina.
Thank you, Pastor Amica. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for giving your input. Your information was very powerful.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Well, praise God, Sister Tina. Well, we're in overtime. We're going to go down from this place again. I thank you so much for being with me on today. Excellent. Excellent job, excellent topic, excellent information. Thank you so much. And for those of you tuned in late, or those of you who have been with us, please help me spread the word about this broadcast. Put it on your Facebook pages and let people know, text people and let them know that they can go to blogtalkradio.com/power to listen to the archives and get this information to your teenagers. Sit down with your teens, sit down with the parents. Tell your friends who have kids to listen to this broadcast. Amen. Sister Tina, did you have anything in closing?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come onto your show and to speak on this issue of teen dating abuse. So a round of applause for you.
Amen.
Thank you so much for having come on. This information is very much needed in our community. I wanted to repeat again, if you don't mind, this is the National Teen Hotline telephone number. It's 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's anonymous and confidential, so you don't have to think that someone is going to tell your information. It is housed by teens who have been abused. So when you're calling in, you're calling in to someone who understands what you're going through. And the telephone number is 866-331-9474, 866-331-9474, You can also use your cell phone to text. If you text the word love is, L-O-V-E-I-S, that's in Sam, to 77054. That also connects you to an organization that deals with teen dating abuse, okay? You also have the website. I'm going to give it again, www.loveisrespect.org, or you can go to loveisnotabuse.com. Those are two great websites that you can go on, whether you're a teen or a parent, so you can get resources and information. And the last one, which is the nation's biggest organization on teen dating abuse, is called Break the Cycle. And you can go to their website, www.breakthecycle.org. And please, feel free to go onto these websites, get information that's needed for yourself, for your teen. If you're a parent or a guardian, if you're a friend of someone who is an abuser, I'm sorry, is being abused, or a friend of someone who's being abused, you may want to show the person this information. It's just a great tools and resources that we need to use, okay? So I thank everyone. I thank you, Pastor Rebecca, for having me on the show. I thank everyone for listening, and I thank the people who took time to call in to ask questions, because I appreciate it.
Amen.
Love you, Pastor
Becca,
my spiritual
love
mother.
You, too. Amen. God bless you. Well, that was Tina Lane. And, again, you can listen to the archives and contact her, her contact information. Tina, what is your contact information once more, please?
Yes. My email address is tinal.lane@yahoo.com, tinal.lane@yahoo.com, or you can email me at tinal.l3371@gmail.com.
Amen. So be sure to be in touch with Tina to get more information, or to perhaps to come in and have her come in and facilitate a teen dating abuse or self-esteem workshop in your church. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Rebecca. We invite you to come out and worship with us tomorrow. Tina, thank you so much for being my guest today. God
You're
bless
welcome.
You, brother. Amen. And come out and worship with us tomorrow, New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. The power of the Lord is moving in that house, and we invite you to come out and worship with us. We start at 11 o'clock a.m. prop. We invite you to come and experience the one-of-a-kind experience where God will surely meet you and speak to your heart. And also, we have our midday service on Wednesdays right here on blogtalkradio.com/power every Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon. We have corporate intercessory prophetic prayer every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Come out and be a part of everything that God is doing. On Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on campus in Elizabeth, we have our Bible study. Don't forget to visit our website, www.nccmonline.org, and pick up a copy of one of my 5 books. You will be blessed. There's so many great resources there that you will definitely be blessed. Don't forget to sow a seed while you're there. That would be awesome. And also, last but not least, get ready for the Woman Power Warriors on the Frontline DVDs and CDs that are being made available this week on our website. So remember to check back to the website, nccmonline.org, so that you can definitely get your copy of the workshops and the sermons. My God, everything was so powerful. You don't want to miss anything, and that's going to be made available on our website this week. So God bless you, everybody. Know that God loves you, and so do we. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you. Amen.